Thank you, the choir, and thank you, Mitch, yes, for this beautiful music. Yes, by now, we have heard a good story, a story of Easter in the skit, in songs, in special music, and in the choir's music, and in all places throughout the service, we have heard the story. Yes, the Easter story is a good story. It deserves to be called the best story ever. The best ending in the Bible is the ending that we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus. Every time we read the story from the gospel, it gets us. We feel great. Yes, perhaps because we know what happened following this amazing event of Jesus' resurrection. The disciples changed. Their lives changed. The world has changed. The history has changed. The church has started. But think more about how the first witnesses and the first hearers of that news must be feeling at first. Yes, they must be lost for words. They must be speechless. The gospel writer Mark seems to give more thoughts to it. So Mark piles on the heart-pounding, breathless words such as trembling, bewildered, fled, and afraid. That's how the Gospel of Mark ended in chapter 16 in its original manuscript with verse 8. They were afraid. Yes, it was a surprising story. What's not surprising here is that Easter came as a surprise to the first followers of Jesus. The woman who came to the tomb was surprised at what they saw in front of their eyes. But to me, what is surprising is here that this woman then became the first preachers of the gospel, the first witness, and the first missionaries. They were given the message that they would go and tell the people. And it must be an unlikely thing because 2,000 years ago, there wasn't much gender equality around there. Women were treated as less than men. Women were not even allowed to be witnesses in a court of law. They must be thought to be untrustworthy witnesses. 2,000 years ago, if I was making up a story about my favorite dead man coming back to life again, hey, I would not choose women as my witnesses of the fact. I would choose male witnesses with at least some credibility. That's the context of the first Easter Sunday. Women witness. Unlikely witness to the eyes of the people, but chosen and blessed by God. So this is my prayer that all those of you who are told and thought to be unworthy may find God coming to you and assuring you and saying to you, God has chosen you. God has claimed you and empowered you and trust you with God's work. Another surprise that I find here in the story of the first Easter was Peter was included. The angel said to the woman, go, tell his disciples and Peter. That is how Mark wrote the gospel. And Peter? Why Peter? Peter was one now who couldn't feel like a disciple anymore. He denied Jesus publicly 3 times. He did it. After boasting it in front of the other disciple, saying that even if everyone else let you down, Jesus, I would never. So since Friday, Peter denied Jesus 3 times and had been feeling like a big fat failure. The good news of Jesus' resurrection then should be given to Peter. The Lord wanted to be so. And it's the same now. The Lord wants the newness of life and relationship to be experienced in the life of every Peter among us. So I pray for those of you who feel undeserved and unexpected, because your own past is still hurting you, you feel that way, may you claim the message of Easter for you. Jesus is not done with you yet. Jesus still wants to be part of your life. There's a grace for you. There's a love, unconditional and steadfast. So go and meet the risen Christ. Go and get your unforeseen, transforming grace. That is for you. So dear friends, whether you feel like the woman on the first Easter Sunday or not, whether you identify with Peter or doubting Thomas or not, and whether you are ready for another surprise or not, Easter speaks of your story. Life can often feel out of control, which is precisely why a surprise is so startling. It catches us off guard, unprepared for what's to come. Like many of you, I am someone who craves knowledge, control, and preparedness. But even with our best efforts, life can still surprise us. In the first Holy Week, following the darkness of Good Friday, many of Jesus' disciples and friends still attempted to make sense of everything that just happened. Perhaps they even yearned for bringing control back over their lives. So it's no wonder that Mark described the arrival of Easter Sunday as an abrupt event that left the disciples afraid, because they were not sure whether that would mean that they were losing their control again and again. As I said earlier, yes, the Mark Gospel ended there. In the original manuscript, you see only verse 8 to finish the story. But later, probably, someone added those words that we find in verses 9 through 20 to the end of Mark's original Gospel script. They borrowed words from the other Gospels because the other Gospels, has a great ending. Matthew has a great ending to his Gospel. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus meets with the disciples in Galilee and sends them out to make disciples of every nation on earth. There we read that greatest commission. Then Luke also, a fantastic ending to his Gospel. Jesus appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they experience their hearts burning within them. Later, Jesus ascends into heaven in front of people, and that leads disciples to worship and return to Jerusalem, in Luke's words, with great joy. John also has a great ending in his Gospel. As we have learned through the intro skit today, the woman, do go and tell the man the good news. Jesus shows himself to be alive to his disciples. Even doubting Thomas is not anymore doubting. Jesus heals Peter's wounded heart and gives him a mission after they had that conversation. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. But Mark's Gospel concludes with a striking ending. They were afraid. What kind of ending is this? You may wonder. Is another page missing here? And I thought to myself, did the Gospel writer run out of ink for writing? It feels like an unfinished story, but with an open ending. This open-endedness serves as an invitation to explore what happened after this. The mystery of God's grace that were realized in the lives of people, and that made people be open to unexpected surprise more. As Max Lucado eloquently put it, when we are out of options, we are most ready for God's surprises. Let me repeat it. When we are out of options, we are most ready for God's surprises. Friends, are you open to God's surprises? Or are you too closed off to the newness of the Holy Spirit? The early Christians knew very well that the woman who was surprised, and even Peter who was afraid, went on to boldly witness to the risen Christ. This open ending of Mark's gospel served as an invitation for the early Christians to go out, proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, and live as Easter people along with the disciples following their examples. They didn't remain afraid. To them, the resurrection of Jesus had become the foundation for a renewed way of life in and for the world. Years after the first Easter, having witnessed many stories of Easter people, Mark was writing his gospel. His conclusion, yes, which is an open ending, is actually a powerful message. In that way, the early Christians read that phrase, they were afraid, but they knew that that meant that the story is not finished yet. Even after 2,000 years after, here, the message of Easter remains the same. The story is not over yet. The risen Christ is still alive. Easter still happens. Here, we don't need a science to tell us that dead people don't come back to life. We don't care. But what we care is we can experience a renewed way of life in Christ through the Holy Spirit. When we let go of and fall into God's limitless, surprising love, we will see that God always exceeds our expectations and plans. And this season, I haven't experienced it. We Easter people can continue to works of true creativity, doing justice, making peace, healing families, restoring relationships, resisting temptation, seeking and winning true freedom. That is what we Easter people can do. Because God is a God of surprise, taking us to places beyond our expectations, plans, and even wildest dreams. Again, God is a God of surprise. This is a message of Easter. And it is indeed good news. Yes, Easter invites us to be open to the wonder of God's surprise and to the joy that comes along with it. We are invited to accept that invitation and participate in the Easter story by living a life renewed and empowered as we put our trust in the risen Lord. Here, I'd like to finish with Henry Nouwen's words. I quote, "Each day holds a surprise. Each day holds a surprise, but only if we expect it can we see, hear, or feel it when it comes to us. Let's not be afraid to receive each day's surprise, whether it comes to us as a sorrow or as a joy. It'll open a new place in our heart, a place where we can welcome new friends, new possibilities, and celebrate more fully our shared humanity, because our God is a God of surprise. May we fall into God's vast, limitless, and surprising love and experience, not a fear-causing surprise, but a joy-bursting surprise this Easter and always. Amen."